It is good to see you in God's house. It is good to worship with you. It is good to see the smiles on your faces and hear the expressions of worship all across the sanctuary. It lifts my spirit, brothers and sisters. And so this morning, as we come to hear what God would say to us this morning from His Word, I will focus my entire reflection on the New Testament passage found in Galatians chapter 6. And in verse 2, the Apostle Paul says to his readers, "Help carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will obey the law of Christ." Where no one stands alone. Let us pray. Loving God, you have shaped us and formed us for life in community. You never made us, Lord, to live as social solitaries. And so, Lord, as we look at the implications of these words, we pray that you would speak into the deepest recesses of our hearts, that we would take your word seriously, that we would apply your word to our lives, and that we would begin, Lord, every single last one of us, to bear one another's burdens. And so we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts together will be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There was once a Chinese woman who had lost her one and only son. She could find comfort nowhere and from no one. And so she went to a wise old man and asked him what she should do. He said to her, "Go to a home that has no sorrow, to a home that has no grief, and bring back a mustard seed, and I will restore your son." Several days passed, and the days turned to weeks, and the weeks turned to months. And eventually the woman returned with no mustard seed. She said to the wise old man, "I have been so selfish in my grief. Sorrow is common in every home." Yes, we all have burdens. Not all of us have wealth, but we all have burdens. Not all of us have health, but we all have burdens. Not all of us have good looks, but we certainly all have burdens. We may not have much in common, but we all have burdens. Burdens are common to the human family. We all have problems and cares in this world that weigh us down like a heavy sack upon our back. And some of us try to carry this oppressive weight all by ourselves, thinking that it is a sign of spiritual and moral fortitude not to bother other people with our burdens. Sometimes these persons will remind us that we are told in Psalm 55 and verse 22, to cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. And that Jesus in Matthew 11, 28, invited the heavy laden to come to him with the promise that he will give you rest. Thus, such persons argue that since we have a divine burden bearer in King Jesus who is quite sufficient for the task, then it would be a sign of weakness to seek any human help. This is a tragic mistake, brothers and sisters. For while Jesus alone can bear the burden of our sin and of our guilt, God does not intend for us to bear our other burdens all on our own. Our burdens of worry, temptation, of doubts, of fears, of failure and sorrow. And so even though 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 encourages us to leave all our worries with him because he cares for you, we must always bear in mind that one of the ways in which our Lord bears our burdens is through human relationships. And we forget this to our own detriment. Yes, we are invited to take our burdens to the Lord in prayer, as the songwriter reminds us, oh, what peace we often forfeit, oh, what needless pains we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. But when we take those concerns to God in prayer, many times he works out the answer through human relationships. Human relationships in which we bear one another's burdens is part of the purpose of God for his people. So we should not keep our burdens to ourselves, but rather seek out a Christian brother or sister who will help to bear them with us. And that is where community comes in. A community is simply a group of people who matter to one another. A place where there is a sense of belonging, where people are connected to one another. In community, we have people with whom we can share ourselves, our joys and concerns, our stories, our burdens, our victories and our failures. A church should be such a community. A group of persons united with one another by their union with Jesus Christ and their love for one another. Let me ask you this. What would you say about us here? Are we a community? What do you think? How do we respond to those who approach us with burdens that are greater than they can bear? Do we just utter some sympathetic words to them about the difficulties they seem to be facing, such as, oh, that's too bad, I'm so sorry, without lifting a finger to help? Or should we just tell people who are in need to buck up and trust in the Lord to help them? No, not at all. None of these responses embodies the love and care that will allow us to obey the law of Christ. We are to bear one another's weaknesses, not just put up with them or tolerate them, but actively use our strengths, our gifts to help them. We are to carry each other's burdens. We are to live as though those who are responsible for helping one another. This calls for a depth of engagement with one another that goes beyond the superficial. It requires a level of increasing openness which allows us to see both the good and the bad in each other while still embracing one another. It is a call for a new level of intimacy, for we cannot creatively bear one another's burdens if we really don't know the person or the burdens that they bear. This can be a very costly matter, because our common sinfulness gives us the capacity to inflict pain upon one another and to place heavy loads upon each other. It would be far easier to live as independent individuals, you in your small corner and I in mine, without having to worry about taking responsibility for the welfare of others. But that is not the law of Jesus Christ. And so the reality in many churches is that what we find are people who are struggling under the weight of their challenges with no one to help them. People like Madge. She was bright, a child of the manse, who studied drama at university. Struggling to fit into a church, she persevered until her marriage collapsed due to her husband's unfaithfulness. The church was embarrassed by her presence. She drifted away. John worked in a lively parachurch organization for a couple of years and then looked for work in the real world, as he called it. As he tried to figure out what to do with his life in the long run, he joined a church, but he didn't fit in. He knew too much about church life to be an ordinary member, but not enough about that particular church to have a role. He had ideas and gifts, but he felt unwanted and frustrated. He came and went, and whenever he was asked about the direction the church was taking, he sounded rather cynical. People stopped asking him. He went, and he didn't come back. Then there is a story of an American Baptist preacher who was a pastor for over 30 years, who learned that because his daughter-in-law had received contaminated blood products, his grandson is now HIV positive. He turned to the family of God for support, but he was met with fear, uncertainty, and a coldness that he had never encountered in his 30 years of ministry. His faith in Jesus remained undiminished, but his faith in Jesus' people had taken a hammering. His family had been torn apart by AIDS, but the family of God's people seemed incapable of responding with love, with support, and with concern. And I could go on and on, but I think the point has been made. There is story after story of accounts of people who are attracted to Jesus and who feel the need to have God in their lives. Some of them are trying to follow him, to base their lives on his teaching and to seek the strength of God through his Holy Spirit, but are finding that the church is of absolutely no help at all. The community of people that is intended by God to be the place of healing and help is all too often a harmful experience. Far from being a place of healing and wholeness, it is frequently the cause of much pain and trouble. The world is awash with casualties of people who have been damaged, many irreparably, by the church. Today there are people who are asking, why do we carry on when the church seems to do so much harm to people? Paul gives us a simple answer. He says in verse 3, if you think you are something when you really are nothing, you are only deceiving yourself. Now, our Good News translation, the Church Bible, doesn't do justice to the original Greek here, for it doesn't link this verse with the previous ones, which tell us to help to carry our brother's burdens. You see, the sentence in verse 3 actually begins with the word for, a conjunction that links what was said before with what is now being said, that our conduct toward others is always governed by our opinion of ourselves. What this means is that if we do not or will not bear one another's burdens, then it is because we think we are above it, that we think of ourselves as something, that it would be demeaning and therefore beneath our dignity to be involved in the messy business of helping others. And so when we think we are something, we will as a result refuse to bear the burdens of other people. But as Paul makes clear, when we think of ourselves as something, as somebody, we are only deceiving ourselves. For we are in fact really nothing. Is this an exaggeration? Not when the Holy Spirit has opened our eyes to see ourselves as we really are. Rebels against the God who made us in his own image, deserving nothing but destruction from him. When we realize and remember this, we will never think of ourselves as being somebody or something, that is, as being better than others. Nor will we refuse to serve them or bear their burdens. So if there is anyone here this morning who has a tendency of turning up their nose and scoffing at those who come to us for help, and I'm not just talking about people who beg for money, then perhaps the answer to the way you respond lies within you and not the other person. In closing, I want to point out what at first glance appears to be a flat contradiction. After telling the Galatians to bear one another's burdens in verse 2, how can Paul now turn around and write in verse 5 that each of you have to carry your own load? How can we be told to bear one another's burden and at the same time be told to bear our own burden? It does seem to be a contradiction. But there are some things I want to say which will dispel the apparent contradiction. First of all, we need to know that in the Bible there are 11 different words that are translated by our one English word, burden. Which means that the one word in English, burden, can mean very, very different things. In verse 2, the first time Paul uses the word burden, in the Greek, the word refers to a load which is beyond the normal ability for someone to carry by him or herself. Things such as sorrow and suffering and problems in the present life. While in verse 5, the word burden usually refers to a pack that is carried on one's back, like the school children we see on the street with their their knapsack, something like that. That's the image that is conjured up by the second occurrence of the word burden, which is really a reference to your own responsibilities. Each Christian has his or her own work to do, so let him or her take pride in how it is done, for the work of each of us will be presented individually before God at the final judgment, at which time no one can take our place or bear our load. So the burden in verse 5 is a reference to our Christian responsibility. Discharge your responsibilities well, for God has given it to you and not to another. And when we stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, I can't bear that burden for you, and you can't bear that burden for me. We stand on our own in the presence of God. So you see then, there are some burdens we can and must share because the load is just too great. And there are burdens, or responsibilities as I prefer to call them, that we must bear by ourselves and we cannot share with anyone without a dereliction of our Christian duty. To be a burden bearer is a great ministry. It is something that every Christian should and can do. It is a natural consequence of walking in the Spirit. It fulfills the law of Christ. Therefore, Martin Luther wrote, Christians must have strong shoulders and mighty bones, sturdy enough, that is, to carry heavy burdens. Amen.